Here we are, week two, with Robert Gerrish, the author of The 1 Minute Commute, a book that I was travelling to Melbourne, I think, the other day. I was in Melbourne, actually, travelling back to Sydney, and there it was. Quite a number of them, beautifully laid out. Must be very nice to see your book in bookshops.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I hope every time I walk past the bookshop, there's a few less.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, look, it's I'm very pleased with my publisher, Pam McMillan. They've certainly done the distribution side of it.
Yeah, great. You know,
it's now we've got to see how many people are buying it. But
and do you find that daunting in terms of the mechanics of selling and the challenges of selling? Do you kind of just give over to the universe to say, go ahead and multiply?
Or? It's interesting. I kind of do, to be honest. I'm not a great hustler, which might surprise some people, but I'm really not. And a comment, the little discussion you and I had before you started recording, when we were talking about the early days of your business, Booktopia, and you made a comment to me that was along the lines of, it grew because people talked about it to other people. And I'm somewhat old school, and I still believe if something's good, it will do well. And there's so many people trying to hustle so many things that I don't do too much of it. I mean, I love to be able to come and speak with someone like yourself on a podcast. I do that. Because I genuinely believe that this does sound a bit arrogant, but I genuinely believe that what I've written is good. And I believe if you're thinking of starting or growing a very small business, then I think you should read it. And that's what I want to talk about. So, you know, I don't do a lot more than that. I don't, you know, I've been going to quite a few speaking events, and I always think, shall I take a whole lot of books with me? And I probably should. But I don't.
It's interesting because in the book industry, and I never came from the book industry, but I have met a lot of authors, and there's many of them, probably more in the fiction area rather than non-fiction, because non-fiction, you're an authority on some sort of subject matter, and therefore you've got a platform to speak from. But a lot of fiction authors will think, you know, I spent time in my bedroom at nights and weekends, I wrote it, my friends read it, maybe they even paid for an editor to go. And they think that by giving it to a publisher and letting them kind of, you know, give over it, that it's all going to happen by magic.
Yes.
And the sales will happen. And that's why there's a lot of authors that the average income for an author is somewhere around $10,000 to $12,000 a year.
I'm sure.
It's very, very small. Yeah. And that's why they need to have other jobs.
Yes.
So the idea, what you talk about in your book in terms of overcoming some of the challenges and kind of that's not what you're practicing in terms of your promoting your book. You're kind of leaving it for the universe. But the difference is, I think, from my perspective, is that there is all of the challenges, all of the content has come from actually being engaged in it and having those learning experiences. So therefore, the book has the content. It's not you, and therefore it will go. But in business, though, when you're actually sitting there and you're trying to get going, there's things that you actually need to address. You've got to overcome.
Sure. Yes.
What are some of those things that you see time and time again that people need to potentially even just realize, oh my God, it's not me.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a common feeling. I'm not alone. Is there anything in terms of that solidarity with other entrepreneurs, people who are starting on their own that need to know, oh, well, thank God I read that, you know, in Robert's book, because it's not me. It's the journey.
You know, yes, there are. It's scary how many sort of parallels and similarities there are between businesses when it comes to struggling. And one of the things that we sort of touched on in the last episode is this whole notion of kind of talking about and promoting yourself when it kind of is your business. You know, a lot of people are not terribly comfortable with that. But when you're in a very small business, you really are your business. you know, to a large extent. So you need to be, you need to grow or learn and build your confidence in being able to speak and connect and communicate with others. And a lot of people that when they're starting out, they are, can be very competent practitioners. They have a skill set in something. You know, a good example is, health practitioners, or more particularly alternative health practitioners. Now, I've done some work with groups of alternative health practitioners, and often these are people that have spent many years and many hundreds or thousands of dollars learning their skill. And it's often can be very complex and quite unusual and quite hard to talk about in some cases. And what can happen in those businesses is that those people are actually become slightly unable to market because they're so tied up in the detail of their practice that they can't actually see beyond that into why people would actually want to work with them. So, you know, a good example would be somebody who maybe talks about, you know, say some particular, maybe it's Reiki or some particular learning that they've had, some skill that they've developed, where the outcome of their work is not talked about enough, but what is talked about is this whole process. You know, when people buy things, they're not really interested in processes. They're interested in what they get out of it. So if somebody says to me, if you work with me, I can help you live for an extra 15 years, or I can help you feel 5 years younger, or I can help you have 20% more energy, that sort of language will get my attention. Whereas what a lot of people in those sort of industries find themselves talking about is the technical side of their practice. And that just gets in the way because people don't understand it. They don't engage with it. So what happens is that over time, people lose confidence talking and they kind of come back into their shell a bit more and don't go to networking events and don't engage. You know, I had an example not long ago with an accountant, a lovely man. He found that whenever he went to networking meetings and said, I'm an accountant, people would not be terribly interested in talking to him, which is a bit dismissive of accountants. But, you know, accountants don't necessarily have the reputation of being the liveliest people in the room, which is a bit sad. But it turned out that this particular guy, when I sat down and really talked with him, he absolutely loved saving businesses the minutest amount of tax. He's the kind of accountant you'd want. You know, he would really help you retain profit, save tax. He was that kind of guy. And he loved working with creative businesses particularly as well. So what he does now when he goes to networking events and people say, what do? He says, I work with creative small businesses. I help them pay less tax and retain more profit. Now, when you talk like that, people, the next question is, how do you do that? Or can you do that for me? Or can you help me? Or can you talk to my friend? People are interested, but often what happens in business, they don't talk like that, and then we get lost in language. You know, it's really messy. So that's certainly a very common one.
So is that, that's interesting, because I was thinking about that as you were talking or describing that story. Mm. So do you find that the people who are working and choosing to work on their own, those that reach out and kind of engage or challenge their approach, the way that they're marketing themselves or the way that they're organizing their office or their doing, those that actually kind of take a position of, I know I can improve, or how can I do this better? Mm. Like someone challenging even just their elevator pitch or their USP, their unique selling proposition, which is what that guy, I'm an accountant, sure. Versus exactly. I save people tons of money.
Yeah.
And getting a different out. Do you see that kind of inquisitive mind, that kind of innocence or that kind of mindset that says, I'm curious and I'm not going to take my belief systems as rock solid. Is that a key ingredient?
Oh, most definitely. Of successful businesses, yes, it is. Most definitely. And I think, you know, a lot, again, something I talk about at some length in there is that not every small business can afford or wants to have a coach or a mentor or any of those kind of things. But there are ways that we can, with friends, form little buddy groups or ideas groups or virtual boards, any number of ways of describing them. Little teams where we can join up with other people and say, hey, let's meet once a fortnight. Let's look at what we're trying to achieve. Let's share what our challenges are and let's help each other. And if there's one thing that I learned through the 12 years with Flying Solo, particularly when we started our discussion forums, it is still the biggest sort of online discussion forums for small business in Australia, is the degree to which one business will help another business is astonishing. People just want to help. But what we have to do as small businesses is have the courage to speak up and go, I think I could do better in this. You know, how can I do this? And looking around for other people that are doing it and asking them and sharing. So the business that sits by them, or the business owner that kind of sits by themselves feeling concerned or worried or unsure of a step, that's the person that I really worry about. And that's the person I want to talk to. Because it doesn't have to be like that, you know, and we don't have to all go and sign up coaches or go into massive, you know, professional development programs. You know, hey, buying a book, that's not a bad idea. It costs $30 to buy a book. If there's anything you're not sure about in your business, there's a book written about it. You know, marketing is a big issue for a lot of people in small businesses. But, you know, you, Tony, you've got clearly a lot of knowledge of marketing. I have a background in marketing. There's nothing difficult about marketing. Marketing people make it sound difficult because then we can charge more money for it. But it's not difficult. And there's so many wonderful books on marketing, so many wonderful books on networking, on pricing, on positioning, you know, and I've tried to distill bits of them down into my book. But, you know, there's really no excuse. But as you rightly said, are those the businesses that are the ones that work? Yes, they are. It's the people that want to improve and do better. You know, and when you're running a very small business from home, low overheads, you know, if you get a minor improvement each year, then that can be a pretty viable business. But the thing that also can tire a lot of people in business is that, you know, it's not like when you're in a job. When you're in a job, if you've been doing the same job for 5 years and you start to get a bit bored with it, you go to your boss and you go, I'm a bit bored with this. Stretch me. Give me another job. Where do I go next? In your own small business, there's no one to go and talk to. So you have to do it yourself. And clearly you've done it in your business, and I'm sure you continue to do it. I do it in my business. I look at where I am and I look at where I want to go constantly. And I nudge myself and push myself and I move direction and I change and I expand and I grow, and some things work and some things don't. But for me, keeping things fresh and creative is what brings me my energy. I don't want to do the same thing every day.
So it sounds like most of the people who start their own business have gained expertise in some area through their life. They've possibly done a course, they got a job which gave them expertise in a certain area, and now they're at a point where they can actually break free and do the 1 minute commute.
Yep.
Because they don't have to go to sit in the office and work for someone else. They can actually, you know, define their day and live the life that they want to live.
Yeah.
What I tell people often is that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of the questions that you ask.
Mm.
And that if you're an expert in Reiki, you're an osteo, you're a chiro, you're an artist, you're a graphic designer, you're a plumber, you're whatever it is that you do, the quality of your skill is determined by the quality of the questions that you ask, because you know what questions to ask.
Yes, And look, and I love the way you used the word curious a while ago. I think curiosity is a wonderful thing, you know, and I think that you will never be held back in your business if you're curious. You know, I think curiosity is a lovely thing. I've got this word I've got laminated and on my wall in my office. And I always try and just bring that to my everyday. Curiosity is a great thing, I think.
And what people need to understand is that when they actually go out on their own, that the quality of the questions that they ask as a business owner, as a self-employed person, get better as the years go by.
Yeah.
Because you learn. We've had at Booktopia and in my business career, I've been running my own businesses now, self-employed for 22 years, is that there have been many, many very expensive lessons.
Mm.
You get $3,000 ones, you get $60,000 ones, $500,000 when we tried to list on the ASX in 2016, that was a $4 million lesson, right? These are all the things that you learn. And you've got to be able to say, bring it on.
Mm.
Because through that initiation, through that journey, you get to ask better questions.
Yeah, so true. And it's, you know, interesting that, you know, one of the points we've talked about briefly is this whole notion of networking. And for one of the things that does worry me a little bit with small businesses and networking is that some do tend to feel that if they've got a good profile on Facebook and on a few other sort of social media channels, that's their kind of networking covered. And I absolutely don't believe that it is. And I still think there's little that's better for a business than face-to-face contact and interaction with other living beings. But where a number of people struggle in networking is that they feel that it's a place to go and promote and sell. Whereas I think the approach that works is the one that you're just talking about, which is asking questions. If I go into a networking event, I won't be thinking about telling people what I do. I'll be asking, what are your challenges? You know, what's driving you crazy in your business? What kind of things are you looking to improve in your life and your business? If you ask those kind of questions, then you get into meaningful conversation. And it's only when you're in a meaningful conversation where your intuition then sort of picks up whether you like this person and vice versa, and some rapport starts to build, that's the environment then to where the conversation will naturally go to, what do you do? How can I help you? You know, this is what I do. How can you help me? It's those conversations evolve, but still to this day, there are still people who will walk into a networking event and will be pushy and then go home thinking, why didn't that work? You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot to learn about. I think that's what your agenda is with anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious then with these networking events, because it is face to face, your book and what people do is the 1 minute commute.
Yeah.
Is there the 1 minute networking group? You know, where people on the, whether someone's in Canada or someone else is in South Africa, someone else is in Lebanon. Like, are there groups getting together supporting each other because we are all interconnected today?
Sure. Yes, there are, is the answer. And, you know, with things like Slack, which is a great communication software that you can use, and also with Facebook Messenger as well. What I see increasingly are people that are forming a small group of people. This is kind of going back to one of the things we talked about earlier, a little bit like a little buddy group where you have half a dozen people, maybe you have very similar skill set or similar challenges that just chat through the day. I think that's very valuable. That's a very useful thing to do. So I'm not sure that, I mean, there are some, certainly some groups that, I mean, I guess are the online forums that exist are a place where you can connect online. But I still think even with that, my sort of perfect picture anyway is one where there is a degree of perhaps buddy groups online, certainly some perhaps participating in some communities online, but I still think that needs to be balanced with getting out and meeting people face to face and really seeing them. I think it would be a crying shame if that ever stopped for anybody. I think it's
so. Are there many people that are in rural and regional areas where they cannot do that?
Not really. There, I mean, in most areas. I mean, we're not talking about a group doesn't have to be large. So there are quite a few groups. In fact, I'm doing a few myself in the next few weeks with the New South Wales government, going out to some fairly rural locations. But there's lots of businesses. You know, there are lots of businesses in homes all around the country. So it's geographical isolation in business is not a major thing. And I think most people that are perhaps geographically isolated that are in business are aware that that's an issue and therefore are doing something about it. You know, so it's, but in every little town all around the country, There are networking groups. They exist. You just got to find them. You know, they're all there. It's amazing.
That's a really good place to just take a pause for episode 2 with Robert Gerrish. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.